No joke, you guys. I have the best sweet treat right now. If you've never had organic dates with, or I guess whatever kind of dates you'd like, with peanut butter and then some sea salt on top. OMG. I forgot that this combo was so fire. I've had organic dates and peanut butter for so long, but I never added sea salt to it. So this is actually my first time trying it. And it's so fire. And it's been a while since I've actually had this sweet treat, but oh my goodness, you guys need to try it. I am dying right now over this combo. I also have a little iced coffee, which is so crazy of me because I don't really drink coffee anymore. If I do, it's once in a blue moon. My family has some fire coffee machines at their houses, so I'll usually have a cup of coffee there, but very rarely do I have coffee. I usually always have matcha or just another tea. And I was craving an iced coffee before I sat down to film with you, and what a lovely combo here. And you know what? These dates are a great alternative if you don't want, you know, the junk food and the candy and stuff. I'm doing a month, all of November, I'm doing no added sugar to my diet, and then I'm also staying away from any processed foods. You can have natural sugars and stuff. Like, of course, I'm having a ton of natural sugar right now with the dates, and you're allowed to have maple syrup and you're allowed to have honey, like anything that's natural, obviously fruit, but I've noticed a huge difference in my energy levels at work. I feel a lot better in my body. I feel like my skin is definitely getting better. I'm battling right now, trying to deal with my acne, in my hormonal acne, in a very natural way. And I feel like things are starting to pay off now. But taking away all of the processed sugar that I was consuming is such a game changer. But this snack, guys, oh my God, it's so good. It's like better than, even though I love Reese's Pieces peanut butter cups, I think it's better than that. And it's basically whole foods, you know? Like, you are consuming good things, very low ingredients, everything like that. Anyway, that was my ramble for my little intro, just to tell you that I have the greatest little snack right now. But hi guys, happy Monday. Welcome back to another episode of Soulful Living with Megs. As always, it is so great to have you here back for a moment of connection with me. I really appreciate the time that you take out of your schedule to spend a few minutes with me. Always means so much, and I love to connect with you when we get to. And DMs are always open if you ever want to talk about anything. I love hearing from you. I love hearing that a certain message resonated with you. It truly makes my heart so happy to know that I am making at least a small difference in your day, and hopefully motivate you to keep going and keep pushing, because I think you're doing such a fantastic job. Okay, also, before we get into today's episode, I wanted to mention that last night, it was a Saturday night, I'm recording this on a Sunday, and then you're hearing this on Monday, I went to my baby cousin's 6th birthday. I guess she's not a baby anymore, but to me, she'll always be my baby cousin. And yeah, so we went to dinner and had her sixth birthday celebration, and it was so special. I love spending time with my family, truly. We could be doing nothing, and I just love being in their presence. I love that I was able to reconnect with them after so many years, and now I get to be in these little kiddos' lives, and it means the world to me, and always reminds me how crucial family is, and who you call your family, and showing up for your family and making time for them. It just makes me so happy. But we did that last night and it was great. And then this morning after the gym, I had to go get groceries before my meal prep. And I was so happy in the grocery store. One, because there were the two cutest dogs just sitting near the door waiting for mom or dad. So excited and just right in the middle of the doorway. And it was the cutest thing ever. Loved seeing them. They were so good. Just sitting there. And then as I'm going through the produce aisle and picking my fruits and veggies for the week, I'm hearing Christmas music, which is frankly a little bit too soon. I mean, I feel like people are going to disagree with me on that for sure. I feel like after November 11th, it's totally fine in my opinion to start Christmas stuff. I don't normally set up a tree this early. I don't think I'm going to set up a tree here just because I don't have one in this apartment. So I don't really care, but I love that everybody's getting in the Christmas spirit now, even if it is a bit early. But I was listening to Christmas music in the store. They were just playing it, and it just put me in such a good mood. It's making me so excited for the holidays. I can't wait to see my friends and family back in my hometown. It's going to be so fabulous visiting. And just, I feel everyone is so merry and bright during Christmas. It is such a season that we all come together and celebrate and just be with family and eat good food. And it's so cozy and cute with all of the lights. And I'm pumped for that. And it just made my heart so happy today. And I feel so content coming down to sit with you, which is perfect because the beginning of the week and why I wanted to talk about this episode was more on a stressful note. So it's nice that I'm feeling more calm about the situation so we can open up a good conversation about it. And I've had time to process my emotions through it and kind of process my thoughts on what I'm thinking during this episode, if you catch my drift there. But anyway, the reason why I wanted to talk about this particular topic today was because of an event that happened, I guess, midweek, because we had had Remembrance Day off on the 11th, and then I was working from home the next day, which was the Wednesday. And I've definitely mentioned before that you guys know I thrive on a schedule. I know I'm not alone in that feeling. I feel as though some people, like myself, truly function a little bit better when you have a set routine and set schedule. And I think routine is crucial in a lot of areas of your life to just maintain a bit of control, also to maintain some cohesion in your life. And for me personally, I like to have a set schedule so that I can have time for so many things in my life. If I know that I'm, like I said, on Sunday meal prepping, I'm unavailable from whatever, 10 a.m. to 12, 12:30. And then, you know, I can come sit here and edit the pod or record the pod, and then that'll take another chunk of my time. And then I have more time to allocate to my friends and family. Or if I know I'm going to the gym in the morning, I'm unavailable from this time. And then later on, I have these other obligations that I can fit in just because I know that I have a set schedule. It truly works for me. And, you know, schedules don't work for everybody, and that's okay. But for somebody like me who thrives on knowing a routine and schedule, I feel very comfortable in that state. And so anyway, I had planned to work from home on Wednesday, which means, you know, the night before, I wasn't prepping my lunch in all of my containers. I just knew that I'd be doing cardio at lunch and then I'd have time to actually heat up my food in here and I wouldn't have to rush around. And so, and then I could wake up, not that I wake up later on the days that I work from home, because I do like to have enough time in the morning to have a slow morning with my breakfast. And even if I have time to do some pod research, I enjoy doing that. Or if it's nice outside, I'll sit on the patio. Like, I, such a side note, but I love slow mornings. Makes me so calm and content. Anyway, I was planning on being at home. I'm not planning on wearing any of my work clothes. You know, I want to stay comfy in my sweatpants, and I have everything set up. And then about 2 hours into work, maybe an hour and a half, I get a message from my boss who was asking questions about a particular file that we were working on and basically how we were going to navigate through me working from home but needing things done in the office in order for this file to progress, essentially. I'm trying not to give too many details away just for confidentiality reasons, but I had mentioned that, you know, my coworkers at work, like so-and-so is available to help with this. As long as I can send everything to them, I'll give them instruction. Like, they're happy to print these documents and do whatever you need for you to help you. And I felt in that moment a little bit guilty for the fact that I wasn't physically in the office to do it myself. Granted, I was unaware that this particular file would be progressing in the way that it was that day. I had figured, you know, I would have time on Thursday and Friday to attend to this. And as I'm going back and forth with my boss, I don't know if there was a miscommunication in there of what other solutions are there, but in my mind, when I was asked that, or like, what else can we do? You know, I had said, well, the other option is for me to come in the office, but to be honest, I don't want to because I wasn't prepared to do that, which maybe I shouldn't have said that in hindsight, like telling your boss that you don't want to come into the office. I don't know that that's great to say, but it's not that I don't want to work, obviously, but it's the fact that I wasn't prepared to based on my schedule and my routine. Like, I had planned to be at home, and I love working from home the one day a week. It's not the most comfortable setup, but it works, and I like my quiet space in my apartment, and it's just me. And so when I'm not prepared for something to shift like that last minute, it does stress me out. And so I said, I can come in if you need. Like, if this is something that we really need me in for, I will do it, but I don't want to do it. And I was trying to stand firm on my boundary of like, this is my day to work from home, so I shouldn't have to come in. And it wasn't like I was being made to come in. Like, in no way was my boss saying, you have to come into the office. And I was even told, I'm not going to ask you to come in. Like, this is your call. And I love that it is my own decision to make, but I also feel like, as somebody who I would call myself a people pleaser, and for those of you listening who consider yourselves people pleasers as well, I think you know that it's a little bit harder for you to make the decision to put yourself first in a lot of different scenarios. And this is such a minute thing. Like, I could have just stood firm on the fact that it's my work from home day. I'm not coming in. I'm happy to provide instruction to somebody else that has capacity to help us on this particular file in this moment, but I will do my job from remotely, which I think is fair, but also kind of scary for somebody who is a people pleaser and doesn't want to upset anybody. And so anyway, I propose that, you know, another option is for me to come in, even though I didn't want to do it. And we're so busy currently, and my boss is very busy, so not getting an immediate response of like, yes, I need you in, that would be great, and instead getting, this is your call, was way more stressful for me. I didn't know what I was doing. I ended up breaking down in my house, which is, sounds so silly that I was crying over this, but also as somebody who strives to be good at their job and everything that I put effort into, I truly felt in that moment that I would be letting people down if I didn't come in to do my job, because frankly, it would take longer for me to give instruction on what to do than it would be for me to just go in the office myself and do it. Like, I wouldn't need to tell anybody this is what needs to be done. Anyway, so I am like upset that I proposed this question, even though it's my call to say yes or no to, and I didn't know whether or not I was coming in. I ended up changing to get ready to go into the office. I even packed my lunch, and then I texted my boss and I said, you know, I'm going to feel really bad if I can't contribute in the best way that I can, if what is needing to happen on this file is actually going to happen today, so I'll come in. And then I was told, you know, you can stay at home for a bit, and that essentially I would be told when I could come in. And which was great. So I was prepared to go in, and I was fully prepared to know that this was my choice, even though I was feeling guilty about being at home and also feeling disappointed in myself for not staying firm on a boundary because I didn't want to go in because this is my day to work from home, you know? And if I had lived in a different city, for example, if I was in Burnaby or Richmond or I don't know, somewhere else, I feel as though I wouldn't have proposed that option. But because I'm downtown, I can walk to work. It is a lot easier, which is has its benefits, but also not so great in the moments where it's like, yeah, you can come in because it doesn't take you as long as other people when they don't live in the same city. So anyway, it ended up being fine. I didn't end up having to go into the office. But the point of me telling you this is that I was working myself up for a little bit of my morning of stressing and crying because, one, I don't want to go in the office on my work from home day. Dramatic. Two, I'm feeling extremely guilty if I had said, you know, I don't want to come in, actually. I'm not going to. I can't. This is my work from home day. And then me spiraling and thinking that people are disappointed in me if I can't help with this because I know how to do it in the best way. And that's not to say my amazing coworkers can't figure it out or like can't get instruction because obviously they're way more experienced than me. It's just the fact that I could do it myself and I felt bad asking for help in that way. And then also feeling like I was letting people down and that people pleasing aspect of me was feeling so guilty even though I didn't need to. And I clocked when I was stressing out that, okay, Megan, you need to calm down for a second. You do not need to stress about something. You haven't done anything. This is your day to work from home. It's okay. You do not have to come in. Other people are there to support you. It will get figured out. It's not the end of the world. So I'm telling myself that, and I'm trying to process why I'm feeling the feelings that I'm feeling. It's a lot of feeling. But I'm trying to figure out why these emotions are coming up. So I ended up writing down on a sheet of paper what I'm feeling. I'm feeling guilty. I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling angry at the fact that I feel like I'm not staying firm on my boundaries of not wanting to come in, but then saying, oh, I'll come in. Because people pleasing, a tendency that we have is saying yes even when we want to say no. You know, and that's not great to have because you're essentially not putting yourself first. If you don't want to do something, you shouldn't have to. Now, that's not to say you can't do your job. Like, you can't be like one day, oh, I don't want to do that. And so you can't. Like, obviously, I have an obligation to work hard and to do my job that I was hired to do. But also, because I can work from home one day a week, I'm allowed to say no to that. This is my day that I'm working from home and I can still work effectively and give instruction to people if need be. You know what I mean? And so I was writing them down, my feelings on these on this sheet of paper, and it was making me feel better to get it out there. But it made me question a lot, even after work that day, of why am I feeling guilty for not wanting to come in on my day to work from home? Like, why did I feel immense pressure to say, I'll come in, it's fine? And then why do I feel guilt and not wanting people to be angry with me, even though they probably wouldn't be, and this is mainly in my head? And so ultimately it made me question, like, why am I being a people pleaser and how can I not feel guilty about not being a people pleaser? Like, are there ways that I can stop people pleasing? Because I think that the more that we put others ahead of ourselves, the more pressure and stress our bodies go through. Because I think we all understand what it feels like when your body is in stress, when you're holding tension in certain areas of your body, and it doesn't feel good on your body. Like, it feels tight. That's why you get a headache. That's why you can get achy shoulders or an achy body and tense neck pain. And yes, there are other factors to all of that and why those would occur, but your stress is maintained in your body and it'll stay held there unless you actually allow yourself to release it and work through some of these emotions that you're feeling when things like people-pleasing tendencies come up to the surface. And so basically, this is all I'm talking to you guys like I'm talking to my therapist. I very much feel I'm a self-aware human. Like, I know these things are coming out, and I know I need to talk to my therapist about this as well as to like why I'm feeling this way. It's definitely rooted in some childhood trauma and things that I developed growing up, feeling a need to be a peacemaker, feeling the need to impress everybody, feeling the need to not let others down because I'm holding myself to such a high regard. And I just want you to know, like, as I'm saying all of this and opening up about it, like, if you do feel the same way, it's so normal. Clearly, I'm going through stuff too. And like, we're all trying to navigate and work through the best way that we can and know how, you know? And so I'm asking myself all of these questions, but I ultimately wanted to remind you today, like, you are a lot stronger than you think that you are. And I think that if you feel as though that you have some characteristics of people pleasing where Perhaps you seek praise from others a lot of the time in order to feel good about yourself. And perhaps you say yes a lot of the time, even if you want to say no, or that you don't stand firm on some boundaries. And I understand boundaries are hard to create if you're not used to them. But if you do feel like these characteristics come out of you, and, you know, even if you go out of your way to help others before yourself, while that is an admirable trait, you're ultimately not putting yourself first. And I think that we need to find ways in which we can stop people pleasing and start saying yes to ourselves and what we really want. Because at the end of the day, this is your life. Everything is your decision. And you should be living in the way that you want to live. And you should be pouring your love into areas that you're passionate about and ways in which you want to improve your life. Like, you should be working towards that. And I think that you deserve that for yourself. Like, you should be putting yourself first. Also, I wanted to segue and say that another thing that I wanted to address in my story of telling you, like, you know, I really didn't want to go into the office and I was feeling so not great about going in. That is not to say that, like, I know some people love their job, okay? I know some people, like, eat and breathe work. And I know that some people feel so passionate about what they do for a living and a career. And I commend those people. I think it's so great. And I do want to be at a place where my career is something that I am passionate about. And I'll be honest with you, what I'm doing currently ultimately just pays for my bills. And this, to me, is a stepping stone into something greater. What that great thing is, I'm not sure. But I will be honest that I'm someone, at least in this particular career, where I believe that this isn't my end-all be-all. This isn't something that I actually love to talk about outside of work. I don't love, talking about what my career is because I just don't feel super connected to it. And it was interesting because when I was younger, I was so interested in certain fields of law and I thought I wanted to be a lawyer and that is what I wanted to go to school for and that's what I was starting. And then I realized, you know, actually I want to pursue more of my creative side first because my body may not be able to handle it past 25, 26. And so why not chase after my passion, which is dance? And so I pivoted from what I was going to school in and I decided to, okay, like, I'm not going to spend 4 years getting my degree, going to law school, and then trying to figure this out. Like, I want to dance first. And so that's why I did the route that I did. And I'm happy that I did because obviously I am here in Vancouver for a reason. And I was meant to be in my dance company at the time that I was to meet my amazing friends and the opportunities that came out of that. But I'm also glad for that to have panned out the way that it did because I know now that I don't want to be a lawyer. And that's not to say you shouldn't be one. If you are passionate about being a lawyer, by all means, do it. But I just feel like I have a vision for my life where I want a good work-life balance and I don't want my life to be revolved around that particular career. And I feel as though if I had gone down that route a little bit further, it would be all that I was eating and breathing and sleeping. Like, I would be constantly doing it. Whereas now I am still in that field a little bit, obviously, because I work at a law firm and I am doing certain fields of law. But like 4 p.m. hits and I'm done my job. 4 p.m. hits and I don't need to check my emails. I don't need to worry about work until the next day. I don't need to talk to my friends and family about my job because it's not something that I'm super passionate about. Like, it just pays my bills. It makes me able to live. And yes, there are moments where I do feel like I love what I'm doing in certain tasks that I have to do, but that job doesn't feed my creativity side of my brain. It doesn't fulfill a lot of what I feel like other areas of my life fulfill. And so I think that is partly why I was probably feeling not great about not wanting to go in because, one, why am I feeling so stressed over a job that just pays me money? Yes, I work really hard at what I do and I don't want to disappoint others by not showing up and trying my best, but also like that wouldn't mean if I, obviously I didn't go in to the office that day and that's fine, but that doesn't mean if I'm saying no, I'm going to work from home, that I'm slacking off. Of course it doesn't. Like I am going to work hard anywhere that I work during 8 to 4. You know what I mean? Like it's, that is my time to focus on that job and then I'm out of there. But I don't need to, I just don't love that I carry that stress beyond sometimes where I do feel the tendencies of people pleasing or the feeling guilty. Like it did kind of flow into my evening of why was I feeling that way over this job that like I don't necessarily care that much about in the sense of this is my life forever. Like, you know? So anyway, I just wanted to kind of touch on that because I know some people who listen love what they do for work. And I love that you're passionate about what you're doing in your career. That's amazing. And it's also okay if you aren't so passionate about what your career currently is. And if you feel similarly to me where this is essentially just my paycheck and my way to make a living, that's also okay because that probably means that you have other areas of your life where you do feel more passionate, where you do feel more fulfilled and feel joy. Because for me, my slow mornings on the weekend fulfill my happiness. The times that I dance, the times that I spend even teaching dance because I'm starting to get into that now, and the times that I spend with my friends or I go on my mindful walks or I just sit in the sun on my balcony and drink my matcha or my creative artwork that I work on or when I read. Like there's so many other areas in which I feel alive that, you know, I don't feel the need to feel so fulfilled at this job right now. Of course, I do want to pour my energy into a full-time job that I am super passionate about. Like even this podcast, it would be so cool to be able to do this full-time. Like I think that that would be an incredible opportunity and something that I would pour every ounce of energy into because I would actually have time for it. But I also know that I want to be somebody where I do put my needs first and somebody where I don't necessarily have to feel obligated to agree with people constantly, where I don't have to feel the need to help everybody out all the time when I really just want to put myself first. And I don't think that's selfish to say that. I think that if you're a people pleaser and you want to learn how to put yourself first, I want to be on that journey with you. I think that we have this one life that we need to create for ourselves. As I said, like you should be pouring everything that you can into your life so that you then have time to pour a little bit of that love and effort into other people's. But it starts with us first. We can't pour from this empty cup. You cannot put others first constantly and then expect to have enough juice in your jar to then feed you. And, you know, I understand like when people have kids and stuff, I feel like that's a different story. You do, I feel as though, always put your children first and things like that. But also, when I have children, I want to be in a place where I've put myself first so that I'm able to give life to somebody else and then I'm able to support them in the best way that I can. But if I'm constantly running on empty because I am attending so many other things left and right for other people and going out of my way to help other people before helping myself, like I won't be able to fulfill that role as a parent, you know? So anyway, I was reading online some ways in which we can kind of stop people pleasing. And of course, I will tag this particular article that I'm referencing in the show notes if you care to read it a little bit further. But there are some ways that we can start breaking free from these tendencies in which we're always putting others first and not ourselves. And I think that if we can kind of take one step forward each day, practice one out of the few that we're going to share here, like even that is such a small step in the bigger scheme of this whole reclaiming your life again and putting yourself first. And, you know, this article starts off with the first thing that you can do is scale back on commitments, which I think is a great start, where if you have such a busy schedule, that's also okay. Like, if you're able to fit in those things because you genuinely want to do these things, go for it if you feel like you have the capacity to. But maybe it's time to scale back on some commitments. You do not have to say yes to every single thing. You're not obligated to help in every way that you can all the time. People understand that you have a life too, that you are busy as well, and that you should be wanting to do things because you want to do them, not because others want you to do them. So if you have to say no to plans, that is okay. If you need a night to yourself, absolutely okay to say no to plans. If you feel like you're being stretched out a little bit too thin because of all of the things that you are committing to, scale back on one of them. You don't have to coach every single team. You don't have to attend every single meeting or every single seminar of something or always being the right-hand man for people. Like, I do feel like people pleasers often want that recognition of, wow, like, thank you for your help. You are so appreciated and we love that you want to help. And at least for me, I love receiving those words of affirmation that I've made a difference in somebody's life. But if it means I'm stretching myself too thin, probably is not the best. I'm probably not showing up in the best way anyway, if I'm obligated or feeling obligated to do all these things. So if we can maybe scale back our commitments, I think that would totally help, at least to start. Another thing that we can do is understand that at the end of the day, like, we won't be able to help and please everyone. First of all, everyone has their own feelings, their own opinions. Not everybody is going to be super happy. And so it's not your job to make every single person happy and manage their emotions. The only person's emotions that you can control is your own. And you can't manage every little scenario and try to imagine every single outcome of a situation. Like, that's impossible for you to do. And so understanding that you won't be able to please everybody is another huge thing we can do for ourselves to break free from those people-pleasing tendencies. Because if you truly feel like you have to make every single person in your life happy, from your friends, your family, to your coworkers, to your boss, it'll stress you out even more. And it's impossible to make everyone happy because, again, everyone has their own opinions, their own feelings. What works for you may not work for them. It's just, you can't lose yourself in this. And you need to understand that it's also not in your control. And I love to be in control. And I'm sure you guys do too. But ultimately, it's out of our hands. And so it's not going to be possible to make every single person happy. And we just actually have to be okay with it. Because I also feel like we give so many people grace, like, especially as people pleasers. I think we understand that everyone's trying their best too, but then somehow when it comes to us, if somebody's not happy, we automatically think it's our fault. Like, no, it's not your fault at all. You need to be kinder to yourself. Another thing this article mentions is that we should be acknowledging that self-care is important, which is a huge one. I'm a big advocate for that. I've definitely mentioned that probably in every single episode that we have together. Ultimately, this whole podcast is about you and self-care and self-love and mindfulness. But we need to invest enough time to take care of ourselves mentally and physically and even spiritually. And so, again, you don't have to, going back to the first point, you don't need to attend every single function. You are allowed to say no if you need a stay-at-home night for self-care. Last weekend, I had actually the first, like, free weekend in a few weeks. I was busy pretty much almost every single weekend prior to that. And I was looking forward to a weekend of bliss and silence with myself. Don't get me wrong, I love when I'm in the moments of feeling high energy to spend time with my friends, my family, attend all these social settings and all of that fun stuff. But I just wanted a weekend of self-care. And that's exactly what I did. I baked 2 loaves of my sourdough, as I mentioned in my previous episode, but I also watched a movie by myself. I cleaned my house so it was deep cleaned, you know? I did my laundry, I did a face mask, and like all of the stuff that kind of recharges me, I was doing because I understand that caring for yourself is so important. And also to add on to that, when I was stressed out at work, the work from home day on Wednesday that I was telling you about, I actually booked after work a facial for myself at, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Formula Fig, but I still have some gift card money left from my birthday a couple years ago, and my face is kind of at a good place right now where it's not totally breaking out. It's mainly like scarring and stuff, and so I'm hoping by next weekend it'll be a good phase in my cycle where I shouldn't really have any like huge active breakouts. But I'm so excited to have a morning after the gym of just self-care and attending to something that, you know, I wanted to go to alone, because it's so important to attend to your emotional, physical, spiritual well-being, as I said. Like, that is number one, because how are you supposed to function if you're not caring for yourself first? So acknowledge that for yourself and really try to do something at least once a day that attends to some self-care for you. So if that means taking a bath, a bubble bath with some bath salts and a bath bomb and reading, or watching your favorite show at the end of the night after such a good meal of whole foods, or doing your gratitude journaling, or the jar that I have, you know, anything that feeds that side of you, I think will just enhance the love that you have for yourself. The next thing that you can do is to get in touch with your own needs and your own desires. And I feel like people pleasers definitely feel that somebody else's happiness and success is kind of more important than your own. But if you put other people on a pedestal without supporting your own needs and desires first, this will continue to be a cycle where you genuinely feel and believe that other people are more important than you, and that their needs, their desires, their wants are going to be more important than your own. And I feel as though then it will be harder to get out of that cycle of people pleasing. You need to start asking yourself serious questions of, actually, what do I want in that moment? Because if you are, again, like me on Wednesday, feeling obligated to say that you can do something even though you don't want to do it and you don't have to do it, you need to start asking yourself, well, is that what I really wanted? And if it wasn't, why did I say yes to that? I'm not serving myself by saying yes to it if that is not truly what is in my heart and soul. So slowing down, questioning, well, do I want this? And if you do, amazing, you can attend to it then. That speaks to your soul. But I think we know, and our intuition tells us, and there is that little voice, if we quiet down, that will share whether or not something feels right. And if you do make a decision and you feel tense in your body and you feel stressed or you begin to become anxious, that is when you need to start questioning, okay, clearly there's something off balance here. Something is not resonating in me. So I need to figure out what I want first before I then move forward. Because you are the most important person in your life. And I know we've said that, but that is so true. You are the one that you need to love first and foremost. Getting in touch with your own needs and desires should be the top of your list, not somebody else's first, okay? I want you to put you first. Another thing that we can do, and I think the last thing that this article mentions, is that it's important to develop your own sense of self-worth. And this is actually interesting because it's something that I do want to touch on in the future. I want to do more research on it so that I actually have a lot of concrete examples and references that I can actually share with you guys. But self-worth is so important to be in touch with, and feeling like you're in your body, feeling more grounded and confident in who you are as a human, I believe over time, and this article shares it, it'll be less likely where you will actually tolerate things that make little sense to you or validate your own energy and needs. And I think self-worth kind of plays into self-esteem, which is what I do want to address on, and like being confident in who you are in your own skin. And I feel like this is such a work in progress, even for myself still, because sometimes I feel as though if I'm letting people down, it'll change their perception of me. But then that means that I'm just maybe not fully feeling like I'm worthy enough within myself. And ultimately, like, you need to be so confident in who you are and so grounded in who you are as a human that when you are, it actually doesn't matter what other people think about you. And it doesn't matter if you do let them down by saying no to something that they would expect you to say yes to. You know what I mean? And so if we're so focused on the feelings of others or worrying that they're going to think little of you, I don't know that that's being true to you first. And if you feel like, and this article says, if you feel like you're clear about your priorities and boundaries, it can be a lot easier for others to respect that about you as well, which is such a huge thing. If you are setting the groundwork of like, this is what I will and will not tolerate, people will clock on that and they'll know, and they'll say, okay, she's putting herself first. Like, all right, I need to not take it personally if she says no, because it also has nothing to do with them too. But being so solid in who you are as a human and know that you are allowed to put yourself first and you are worthy enough to ask yourself first, what do I want? And just live in who you are, the less likely I think you'll feel obligated to put other people first. And so maintaining your well-being and maintaining your time and energy is the most important thing that you can do for yourself. I think that people-pleasing, to get out of it, obviously takes time. Like, I'm sitting here sharing these examples and ways in which we can stop being it, but I also know that it's easier said than done, and tomorrow I'm not going to suddenly stop, because I also think that part of it is in my nature of who I am. If you're a very empathetic person, if you do feel a desire to help others because it also makes you feel good, that's okay too. It doesn't mean that you have to stop all of that. It just means that I think we need to make a little bit more room for ourselves first, and not always having somebody in front of us, somebody ahead of us, you know? I still want to be somebody that is a very giving human being, and I think that I will always be that, but it is also about setting those clear boundaries and showing people, I have capacity to help you, but I need to help myself first. And I want that for you. I want you to know that you are in control of exactly how you want your life to be, and that you're allowed to say no when you want to say no. You do not have to attend anything you don't want to. You don't have to feel guilty for something that you didn't even do. You don't have to feel guilty for no reason. You don't have to always put somebody else first ahead of your needs and your desires, because that is not serving to you. You should be wanting to pour all of the love that you have for yourself into you, and then I guarantee you, you actually will expand and have more time, more energy, more love to then pour little bits into each and every person in your life that you care about. But it starts with you, and it starts with me. So I hope that we can take something from these few examples that this article shared of ways in which we can stop people-pleasing, and I hope that by sharing my story of Wednesday as to me having a little cry sesh at home for not wanting to go into the office and then almost going but ended up not going, I hope it at least provided you some comfort that if you've ever felt that too, you are absolutely not alone in it. And I'm working through this as much as I can too, just as much as you are. And it also probably means I still need to talk to my therapist. And you know what? Also on that topic too, like, yes, I can provide my opinions on things, but I hope that you have somebody that you can professionally talk to, like a therapist, because I think that it's so beneficial for everybody to seek help in that way, and that it doesn't make you weak for doing that. I think that gaining more knowledge, especially from a professional that is able to help you with some of these tendencies that you have or emotions that you have and really work through them and sit in them, is such a strength to hold. And I hope that, you know, you do find it beneficial if you decide to seek therapy and talk to somebody. I found a lot of success in it, and also still like working through a whole bunch of things too. Like, we are all works in progress, but I think that we are on a trajectory of breaking some generational molds and stuff. And I love that we are in this realm of really focusing on us. But I do think that we can do a better job as well. Like, I think that we can still do more to help ourselves first, if that makes sense. But I appreciate you guys listening to me. This was a little bit longer than I thought it was going to be, but I hope that something resonated with you. Of course, if it didn't, don't worry about it. I just want whatever spoke to your mind, heart, and soul for you to take away from that. And I hope that you know you're not alone in a lot of the things that you feel, that I feel them too. And I'm here for you. And I'm here to listen whenever you need to reach out. And I hope that you do. And I appreciate the fact that you've made it this far and that you're listening to me. If you feel as though something in this would help somebody else, I would love if you shared this episode with somebody or rate it on Apple and Spotify. That would be great. I can't wait to connect with you guys next Monday. I appreciate you so much, and I hope that you have such a fantastic week. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot my usual saying, but I hope that your week is filled with endless opportunities of joy and love and light. I'm sending all of that incredible energy to you. So I truly hope that you feel it. And I can't wait to talk to you so soon. Okay, bye guys.